Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. We did it. It's finally here. Green Bay Philly postseason football. This is going to be epic, but you know what? It could be even more epic with Prize Picks. So let's get set for a day of winning. And remember that you can download the Prize Picks app and use code Packaday, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Here are my picks for Sunday. I'm going to start off with, and I know you've maybe heard this before, I'm going Dontavian Wicks, more than 42.5 receiving yards. I think I've predicted a Dontavian Wicks breakout about 19 times now this season. This is going to be the one. Dontavian Wicks, more than 42.5 receiving yards. I think they need a really big day out of Wicks. He's been separating at an elite level. His hands have been much better. His concentration's been better. They need a big Wicks game against Philly if they want a real chance to win. I think we're going to get it in this one. I'm going Dontavian Wicks, more than 42.5 receiving yards. I'm also going with a big Jordan Love game. More than 225.5 passing yards. I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this for Jordan Love. I do believe Philly is going to be ultra-focused on Josh Jacobs, and I think one of two things is going to happen. Number one, Green Bay comes out on fire, firing on all cylinders. Passing game looks good, in which case I expect Jordan Love to have more than 225.5 passing yards, excuse me. And then if they do not, meaning if they can't get him going early, Philly's going to probably get out to a big lead. And you know what's going to have to happen? Jordan Love's going to probably have to throw a bunch in the second half, which I expect him then to get more than 225.5 passing yards. So again, I'm going Jordan Love, big game, more than 225.5 passing yards in this one. AJ Brown, more than 5.5 receptions. He's just too good. There's no Jair Alexander, although I know Brown kind of ate Jair Alexander's lunch in that first game. I'm still going for AJ Brown to have a big game, more than 5.5 receptions. And Jake Elliott, more than 1.5 field goals made. I'm expecting Green Bay's defense to be able to do some bending but not breaking in this game. And with that being the case, I expect Philly to have to settle for a couple field goals. And Jake Elliott is a very good, experienced kicker. And if he gets those opportunities more often than not, he's going to make them. So I think he makes more than 1.5 field goals in this one. Just to recap it, Dontavian Wicks, more than 42.5 receiving yards. Jordan Love, more than 225.5 passing yards. AJ Brown, more than 5.5 receptions. And Jake Elliott, more than 1.5 field goals made. As always, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this week's slate of games, so there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy playoff game day. Welcome into the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Today is a great day to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Check out those Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships. We appreciate all the support. You're the absolute best. Today is special. These are not guaranteed. I know we are spoiled in Green Bay with a lot of playoff appearances, but these are always an elevated experience as a fan. Playoff games are special. They're unique. There's just an added level of hype and intensity that cannot be replicated in really any other way in sports, in my opinion, other than obviously the further that you continue along, the stakes raise week by week. Wild card is intense, but then the division and the championship and obviously the Super Bowl get a little bit steeper odds every week that you go on. But the feeling in these games that every single play has so much weight to it, and any mistake, any big play can completely change the outcome at any given moment, just has that feel again that you just can't replicate, in my opinion, really in any other way. I cannot wait for this one. I will be totally transparent. This is going to be a very difficult game for Green Bay. We're going to break it all down. I do think Green Bay, I'm just going to start off with it and say, I do think Green Bay has a real legitimate chance to win this game. We'll go over why throughout the course of today's show. but we've got a ton to break down. But I just want to say one more time, relish these moments. Playoff games are special. They're exciting. And I'm really, as I've talked about all week long, I'm ecstatic to learn more about this Packers team. These sort of games are revealers. And what I mean by that is they reveal sometimes your true identity. We may think that we know Green Bay's identity, that they are a good team that can beat up on bad teams, that has not been able to show up in big games and come up with big wins. They're not a great team. They're a good team. That's what it sort of has seemed like up until this point. This is going to reveal if that is in fact true, if teams like Philly are just a step up on the ladder from where Green Bay is, and if Green Bay still has a couple, you know, steps that they need to take in a more positive direction moving forward if they want to be legitimate contenders. Or is this team as good as we think they could have been or could be going into this season? And even I think throughout the course of this season, the flashes of brilliance have been there. There's been some really special moments, some really special performances, but I don't think through a 18-week season, a 17-game season, we have seen a real, true, complete performance, at least not against anyone that's not even the, you know, New Orleans Saints or something like that, right? There've been close games, but we haven't seen, I don't think, a complete performance yet. So to ask them to do it on the road in this first postseason game against a unbelievable Philadelphia Eagles team, that's a tough ask. But again, we're about to reveal the identity of the true Green Bay Packers, and I'm excited for that. And I think that we will learn something one way or the other. If they win, oh yeah, we're going to learn some real positives about this team, what they're made of, overcoming adversity, and now getting to see what they can do in another rematch with the Detroit Lions in Detroit with an opportunity to go to the NFC Championship game on the line. Sign me up for that. And if they lose, if it's a close game, we might learn like, all right, they took some positive steps in this one, but they're still a little bit away and they're going to have to do some reflection in the offseason as to how they can upgrade the team and kind of get over that hump. And if they lose big, that's going to reveal some things too. So again, I'm very excited to see what we learn about this version of the Green Bay Packers, what this team can do, how loose they are, how excited they are. Are they playing with a little bit of house money? Are they a little bit tight like we've seen them in big games so far? So much to learn from this game. And like I said, so much to get into. Before we get to Packers, Eagles, and break it all down, I want to go quickly over the Saturday results. Excuse me. Texans destroy the Chargers. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. I don't think it would have been a shocker in any way to say that like Houston could have beat the Chargers in that game. But Texans were not exactly playing great football heading into the postseason. CJ Stroud's had his issues. He had his issues in this game as well. But man, the Chargers looked awful in that game. And Houston really, you know, just beat them up all game long. After that, those first couple hiccups. And I'm telling you right now, you want a huge indicator that a team is not going to win a game. This was eerily reminiscent of Packers-Eagles week one. You get two turnovers right away and you only get 6 points out of it. Go back to the 2014 NFC Championship game of the Packers. They get a bunch of stuff early and have the opportunity to take advantage of it and they can't. Man, if you get gifted opportunities early, and then again, Eagles week one this year, two opportunities right out the gate and you make field goals on both of them. You get those opportunities early and you don't take advantage of them, you're probably going to be in for a very disappointing end to that game. And that's exactly what happened here with Texans and Chargers. And then the Ravens just took care of the Steelers. Steelers made a small, minuscule rally at the end of this one to get it to two touchdowns. But overall, Baltimore just kind of dominated that game. Man, their run offense is just seemingly impossible to stop at this point. What we learned, though, is that it is very difficult to win on the road in the playoffs. In fact, if you go back to last year and the two games so far this year, the home team is 7-1 in those wild card games. And the only one that went to the road team was the Packers beating the Cowboys last year. So just a reminder that these are tough. Now, I would expect that the Bills in the noon game are probably going to take care of the Broncos. So that's probably another one. And the notch of the home team, can Green Bay be the team again this year that on the road goes to an NFC East opponent, picks up a win? Like I said, it's going to be difficult, but they're going to have to show that they can repeat the task that they did last year. They were the only road team last year in the wild card to win. We'll see if they can be one of the road teams to win at least this year. One other little piece of information from Saturday, Green Bay did make a transaction. Interestingly, they did not put Christian Watson on IR yet. He remains on the roster. Now, when I say interestingly, I'm not intimating that Christian Watson's going to come back at some point or anything like that. I don't expect him to play with a torn ACL in this game, but it's just interesting that they didn't make that transaction and move somebody up. It's probably pretty clear that they didn't need that call up. They didn't elevate anyone from the practice squad, and just putting somebody on the 53 for the sake of doing it really makes no sense if you don't need the roster spot. So just have Christian Watson hold that spot for now. And then if you continue on past this week and you need the roster spot next week, all right, then you can put Christian Watson on IR and move somebody up to the 53 at that point. But they didn't even need to do it. And you probably don't need to, because at least barring a crazy amount of injuries, because you're just going game to game. You're not being able to add anyone to the 53 from really outside the roster. And, you know, now you have just practice squad call-ups. You can still call up two people per week. You're probably not going to need more than that anyway. So they might not even need that roster spot, even if they do continue on. But no IR for Christian Watson yet. Sean Clifford added to that open roster spot that they already had available to them. So their 53 is technically full, but it does still include Christian Watson, who clearly is not going to play the remainder of the season. As I mentioned, no practice squad call-ups. And that is noteworthy, because if Quay Walker and or Evan Williams were not able to play, you would have assumed that they would have called up a linebacker or a safety like Omar Brown, like they did this past week. They elevated both a linebacker and a safety this past week with Quay Walker and Evan Williams out. They did not this week. And I would very much assume if Quay or Evan were not playing, they would have done exactly that. I don't think they would have gone in with a complete lack of depth at those two positions. So it's not 100% guaranteed. I can't say it for sure, but it would certainly indicate that there's a very, 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 very strong likelihood that Quay Walker and Evan Williams will play in this game, because there were no elevations at either of those positions. As far as the updated injury report presented by Habish and Rotier, out for the Packers, Zane Anderson and Christian Watson, which we know. Questionable are Brenton Cox, Andre Dillard, TJ Slayton, Quay Walker, and Evan Williams. And like I said, it does seem to be good news for Quay Walker and Evan Williams. For the Eagles, Trevor Keegan is out, their offensive lineman, and then Byron Young, a defensive tackle, also out for the Eagles. Devontae Smith with his back and AJ Brown with his knee, both battling injuries. Both are going to be good to go, but both are a little bit banged up and didn't practice much throughout the course of the week. Both of those players will be worth keeping an eye on. And then Jalen Hurts is fully cleared and good to go. I probably should mention, even though all of you know this by now, Jordan Love is fully cleared, not on the injury report with any designation. He's good to go as well. So we're going to get these top two quarterbacks facing off. I do think from an Eagles standpoint, you have a somewhat rusty Jalen Hurts, who hasn't played in almost a month, coming back, didn't get to practice a ton this past week. And then Devontae Smith and AJ Brown don't practice a ton, so he doesn't get to get back in rhythm with those two wide receivers. Dallas Goedert just came back from injury last week in a game that, again, Jalen Hurts didn't play. He may not have that timing and rhythm quite there with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, or Dallas Goedert, based on some of the stuff that's been going on with the injuries at tight end, wide receiver, and quarterback. That chemistry might take a little bit to get going. If it's there right away, all right, well, tip of the cap to the Eagles and all of their playmakers for getting that chemistry set good to go from snap one. But it's worth keeping an eye on as a Packer fan if they're a little bit rusty, especially in some of their timing routes, just from not practicing and playing together. That could be advantage Green Bay, just with some of the issues that they could have with the timing and rhythm, again, because of the injuries at those positions. Now, as far as the inactives go for this game, as I mentioned, the Packers do have a full 53-man roster. They did not call anyone up. They did, again, bring Sean Clifford to the active roster, which means they will have an emergency third quarterback in Sean Clifford. That means they only need to deactivate four players instead of five, because they get the extra player as the emergency third QB. So Clifford will be able to dress. So only four full inactives will be needed. The fifth will be listed as Sean Clifford, emergency QB, but he will get to dress and be there in case of emergency. So only four additional inactives needed. I think, well, two of them are super easy. Zane Anderson and Christian Watson are out. So those are two of the four. I would assume Jacob Monk will be the other one. They do have, it will be a offensive lineman. If Andre Dillard is still not completely good to go, he did practice in full on Friday, so I assume he will be, but maybe they're just going to say, hey, we're going to give you another week. Maybe it could be Dillard inactive instead of Monk, but one of those spots will be an offensive lineman. My assumption is it'll likely be Jacob Monk, who has been the choice at that spot as of late when there haven't been any injuries. So I'm going to say Jacob Monk. The other one is really interesting. It could be that one of the injured players just isn't ready to go yet. Whether in this case, I guess the main two would be Brenton Cox or TJ Slayton. Quay Walker, Evan Williams, again, we're not expecting based on no practice squad call-ups, but there could theoretically be one of those injured players that maybe isn't quite ready to go yet. Maybe Brenton Cox, maybe TJ Slayton. It could be Aaron Mosby. You know, it's an interesting situation where if Cox is good to go, and then you've got LVN, Enegbare, and Rashawn Gary, like they have to deactivate somebody. I think Mosby will be active, but if Cox is good, they probably don't need five. It could be Mosby. I think the most likely is that it's one of their tight ends, either John Fitzpatrick or Ben Sims. I would guess it's Fitzpatrick, but it has seemed like those two have been closer in playing time, and even Fitzpatrick at times playing a little bit more. I don't think they need four tight ends in this game. Meaning you're going to have Kraft be a huge part of the offense. Luke Musgrave is going to get playing time. And then you probably just need one of Sims or Fitzpatrick. Having both of them is probably a little bit overkill. So that's my guess, is one of the inactives will be either Fitzpatrick or Sims. It could also be Robert Rochelle, but I think he has too much special teams value. It could be Colby Wooden, but with TJ Slayton a bit banged up, I think they're going to want that fifth defensive tackle. So my official guess is going to be Zane Anderson, Christian Watson, Jacob Monk, and then either John Fitzpatrick or Ben Sims. I'll go Fitzpatrick as my official prediction, but it could be Ben Sims as well, and that would not be a huge shock to me. As far as our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game, I'm sorry for being lame on this one, but there's just no two ways around it. It's Jordan Love. It is Jordan Love all day, every day in this one for a variety of reasons. The first reason why we want to have Jordan Love as our player to watch is because how healthy is he? It seems like it's good to go, much ado about nothing, not a major issue. But if he's even at 85%, well, that's not ideal. I would prefer he's at 100%. So if there's any signs of any issues with the elbow or it's causing him pain or discomfort, maybe he's less likely to want to take a hit because it's bothering him and he's keeping his eyes a little bit down at the line of scrimmage because of it, or not scrambling around as much. That could play a factor. If the deep ball's a little bit off, or again, maybe he doesn't feel comfortable throwing it 40, 50 yards downfield, that could play a factor. So not only just the injury, but how any potential injury is affecting him throughout the course of the game is a main reason to watch him. But then I'll just add it a step further too. Even if he's 100%, it's not an issue at all. They need good Jordan Love in this game. I just don't see a path to victory if you get average Jordan Love. I just don't see it. I know that Josh Jacobs is going to be a focal part of this offense. I know that the defense is going to have some say in this the way that they're playing right now. Jordan Love is going to have a good game. There's no two ways around that. I just cannot fathom any world in which we're talking about a, you know, 190-yard, one touchdown, one interception, you know, performance for Jordan as being Green Bay got the win in that game. I think you're going to need 250, at least two touchdowns, no interceptions, very good efficiency throughout the day. Like, that's the Jordan Love that Green Bay needs in order to win this game. I'm not saying he has to go completely nuclear like he did against Dallas last year. I would take that. I would love that. And good luck Philly if that would end up happening, because we know Jordan Love is a bit of a streaky shooter. And if he gets hot, look out. But this to me is a Jordan Love performance. And I think, can he be the as Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, like the truck or the trailer, right? Can he be the guy that puts the team on you know, him, and he's the truck leading it, and he's going to bring the team along with him? Or is the team going to have to kind of pick up the slack and say, all right, we'll bring you along for the ride, Jordan, and we'll try to get through this one? We need a big performance from Jordan Love if Green Bay wants to win this game. And that is why he is the player to watch, A, due to injury, B, because I don't think there's a path to victory if Jordan plays average or worse football in this game. Of course, Once Green Bay does get the win against Philly, it will officially be a Luigi's Victory Monday. Use hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday and make sure to follow Luigi's Pizza on Twitter, LuigesPizza, to be entered to win a free case of Luigi's frozen pizzas. If you haven't gotten in on the Victory Pizza bandwagon yet, make sure to do so. There's nothing that quite tastes like a Victory Pizza after a big win, and it's especially so when it's a Luigi's frozen pizza. So make sure to get yourself some Luigi's frozen pizza and make sure to tweet hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday after a Packers win and follow again Luigi's Pizza at Luigi's Pizza. With that, let's get to our keys to the game. I've got 12 keys in this one. We'll go through all of them. Number one, we've talked about this on multiple occasions. It's not going to surprise anyone that we're going through it right here and right now. We're going to get a really good feel for this game about a quarter to a quarter and a half through Packers-Eagles. If Green Bay gets off to another slow start, Philly's up 17-3, 14-0, something like that, it might be a long day. I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay makes some sort of comeback in it once again and falls 3 points short, something like that. But if Green Bay actually wants to win this game, you can't sleepwalk through the first quarter and a half. You can't be tight. You can't be, you know, shell-shocked. You can't have all the mistakes early. I don't really care if you take the ball, kick the ball, defer. Philly wins the toss. Green Bay wins the toss. Don't let it bother you. Whatever it is, whatever it calls for. If you want to defer and kick, go play defense. Get off the field. Get the ball to your offense. Or at least hold to a field goal. Don't go down 7-0 right away. Like that's the worst way to start that game. And if you do receive, go get points. I'm not saying it has to be perfect. I would love an opening touchdown drive. Sign me up for that. But even if you just go down and at least get a field goal, set the tone of like, hey, we're going to be here. We're going to be scoring points. All right, good start. But you can't take the ball and get nothing. You can't kick the ball and immediately allow seven. Got to get some momentum early in this game. And if it's after one and it's 10-10, you know, Green Bay goes down and scores a touchdown. Philly counters with a field goal. Green Bay gets a field goal. Philly counters with a touchdown. And these two teams are two big-time boxers exchanging blows. Awesome. Game on. Let's do it. Let's see what both these teams have through four quarters. I'm all in. That's great. If Green Bay's up big, awesome. Don't let your foot off the gas. It's going to be a four-quarter game. We even saw last year when Green Bay had everything go their way. Dallas made that little annoying run at the end that was like, all right, guys, quit playing with your food. Shut this thing down. And, you know, so no matter what, it's going to be tough to finish that thing off, but that'd be great. I feel really great about Green Bay's chances if they got off to a great first start. But man, if they are behind the eight ball early, we know that story. It's been written a lot. I'm not saying that Green Bay doesn't have one of those comebacks in them. I'm just saying that's not the avenue to success that you want to try to tempt fate on. It's probably not going to end well. 99 times out of 100, that's probably going to end in a loss. So start fast. Don't let all those mistakes haunt you early in the game like it has in these sort of games in the past, and make sure that you are playing your best football. You can't peak early and then just taper off the rest of the game. That's not going to do it earlier, but set the tone right away and come out ready to play and show that you're here to have a four-quarter fight with the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two sort of goes hand in hand with number one, but I want to see this team play free. It has felt at times, especially in these big games, Detroit, Minnesota, Philly in week one, they've been a little bit tight, especially that Detroit game on the road just a few weeks ago. Like it felt like they just were like, you know, couldn't get out of their own way and just were like overwhelmed by the moment or something. It just felt really tight. It didn't feel like they were loose and having fun. And we like take a look at the Lions, right? That team is always loose. They're always aggressive. They're always having fun. They're always attacking. That's the way I want to see Green Bay play. That's how they played in Dallas last year. Loose, attacking, free, having fun, and just taking it to Dallas. And that, to me, starts with Matt LaFleur. It really does. And I think he has set that example already this week in his press conference, where he's been a little bit more jovial, more fun, a little bit more easygoing, hasn't had maybe, you know, any sort of contentious back and forths at the media or anything like that, or just like, you know, kind of shutting things down. It's been loose. It's been easygoing. I think he is setting the tone for his team. Like, hey, just chill a little bit, guys. You guys are really good. Go out there, have fun, execute. Don't overthink it. Play free, play fast. If that's the way that Green Bay plays, Philly, look the hell out. But once again, flip side, if we see Green Bay coming out tight and timid and worried and nervous and not playing the way that they need to play, we know that story as well. And it usually does not end well. Number three is a tough one. It's a very, very tough one. The line of scrimmage. It goes to every single game you play every single week. There's a level of truth to that for sure. But there's a reason we bring it up here, because Philly's line of scrimmage, both on the offensive line and the defensive line, is really freaking good. And I mean really freaking good. They have the best offensive line in football, in my opinion. Apologies to the Detroit Lions. I think Philly's is better. And their defensive front gets after you in a variety of different ways. Jalen Carter's a menace, whatever you want to call it. Josh Sweat's a problem. You know, and they just go like, you know, Jordan Davis is a nightmare for a variety of reasons. And they have just waves of players that are coming at you. I always have liked Milton Williams. Nolan Smith is starting to come into his own a little bit more. They just come at you in wave after wave after wave. And Green Bay has to win the line of scrimmage, or at least break even in some of these more often than not. When it starts with the Philly offensive line, you've got to find a way to get some pressure on Jalen Hurts, and you've got to find a way to stop the run lanes for Saquon Barkley. I mean, that's easier said than done. There's nothing that would tell me or that I could point to that would say, yeah, you know, Green Bay is going to be able to just go out and have their way with Philly's offensive line. Green Bay's defensive line has been a little bit of a pain point at times this year, although not against the run, especially in the second half of the season. And Philly's offensive line, like I said, I think is the best in football. But if Green Bay can hang tough, play them to a neutral-ish game, or Philly just a little bit better, that's a win for Green Bay. You just can't have Philly dominate up front and Green Bay just being completely shut out. Saquon's running wild. You can't get to Jalen Hurts. It's just game over at that point. So Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, all those guys, the entire defensive front, going to have to step up in a pretty significant way. And on the flip side, I'm really looking at Josh Myers and Rashid Walker in this one. To me, those have been the inconsistent-ish players. And I'll even say Sean Ryan, because Sean Ryan either gives you a, you know, like a B plus or a D minus, or even like an A minus or a D plus, something like that. Like, you're not exactly sure which one you're going to get. When you get good Sean Ryan, it's really good. And you've got that more often than not. But you can't have the down game for Sean Ryan. Josh Myers needs to get back to the way he was playing earlier in the season. But the big one for me is Rashid Walker, because I have seen Rashid Walker play really good football. And I think he's a good football player. But it's been a bit too inconsistent this year, and he needs to have a game that really keeps Jordan Love clean on the blind side. And if he can do that, it's going to give Jordan that comfortability, the ability for him to keep his eyes down the field, not getting that bull rush from the side, which makes him move his pocket and is more likely to fade away, throw off his back foot, those sort of things. I think the tackles, Zach Tom should be fine, but Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, those two are going to have really big jobs in this game to keep Jordan so that he can stay on his toes, throw with the full force of everything, with a strong base and not fading away. That's going to set up Green Bay for success. So to me, the line of scrimmage is massive. And then we know that Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley are going to be the two, kind of key components. The Packers are going to do everything they can to establish Jacobs. The Eagles are going to do everything they can to establish Saquon. That all goes to the trenches as well. The offensive line and running back that does a better job of establishing that is going to have a leg up in this game as well. If Green Bay can't get the run game going, it's not a great sign. And if Green Bay can, hem Saquon in a little bit and make it so that he can't get those explosives, and, he's closer to 22, 24 carries for like 100-ish yards, like right around there, you feel pretty good about what you've done on the day against Saquon. So the line of scrimmage in totality, for a variety of different reasons on both sides of the ball, going to be massive in this game. Number four, talking about the stories that Green Bay has told us through the course of the season. When Green Bay loses, they tend to kill themselves. I've joked about it all week. The Packers are 11-0 in their wins, and they're 6-0 against themselves in their losses. More often than not, it's them that's causing their own pain and misery. We've talked about it earlier this week, the 39 different mistakes that Green Bay had in their game against Philly that were just absurd. The amount, the types of them, the just really, really sloppy stuff in all phases. They can't have that sort of game in this one. If Green Bay has one of their classic self-inflicted wound games where they're fumbling the ball, lots of penalties, drop passes, we'll see you next year, Green Bay. We'll see you next year. You can't play that way in the playoffs. Might get away with that against some bad teams, through the course of the season. In regular season, you have 0% chance of getting away with that against Philly in the postseason. and try to make it so that Philly's the team making the dumb mistakes. I'd like that for once, but Green Bay cannot be the team that's making those dumb mistakes and having those self-inflicted wounds. Number five, you want to do yourself a favor and see how this game is going. Just keep a tally mark of explosive plays in this game. Who gets them? It can be in special teams, offense, defense. A turnover can be an explosive play. Just keep track of it throughout the course of the game. Who's getting the big plays in this one? I would be willing to bet you that the team that gets more big plays in this game, big explosive plays on offense, maybe a big kick return, big punt return, punt block, interception, you know, forced fumble, fumble recovery, anything like that, the explosive plays, probably going to win this one. And it really goes to even more so like on offense. I think both of these teams are going to make you grind it out a little bit and try to limit the explosive plays as much as possible. And if one of these teams is able to open it up and get those explosive games going, going to be a huge advantage for that specific team. So keep track of the explosive plays and who gets more of them in this particular game. Number six, the quarterback and the quarterback accuracy. Jalen Hurts, some time off, concussion, didn't practice a ton, didn't get to practice with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert is just kind of working his way back. What sort of rhythm and accuracy does this Philly passing attack have? And then for Green Bay, even when healthy, especially now with no Christian Watson, we've seen this offense be disjointed, this passing offense be disjointed as of late. How can they get going? And now you've got the elbow injury for Jordan. As mentioned, Christian Watson's out. Those two things are not going to make it easier. It's going to make it harder. On the road, in an extremely tough environment, it is going to take an A-plus effort from this Green Bay team to get back on track offensively in the passing attack and make it so that they are in rhythm. The quarterback that finds that rhythm and accuracy sooner is, again, going to have a huge advantage in this game. If Hurts just looks rusty through the course of the game, big news for Green Bay. If Jordan Love continues to have the inability to find that rhythm with his wide receivers on offense or the elbows bothering him, huge advantage for Philly. So I'm really watching the quarterback accuracy and just overall quarterback play in this one. Number seven is Edgerrin Cooper. To me, Edgerrin Cooper is such a massive X factor in this game. I guarantee you, barring injury, Edgerrin Cooper is going to make his usual handful of plays that make you go, oh my God, like this dude's an absolute freak. I cannot believe he's a Green Bay Packer. What a star. What a stud. Look at how amazing he is. He's going to have a handful of plays like that in this game. He's just that good. He's just that dude. There's no two ways around it. He's a really, really, really good player. However, he will run himself out of plays. He's not always super gap in assignment, sure. He will get out of his alley, and against Saquon Barkley and a running back like him and against Jalen Hurts, with somebody who can beat you with his legs, if he tries to over-pursue, if he tries to go and make a special play and leaves a cutback lane wide open, it's going to be a really tough day. He's going to have to do his 111th first, do his job, fill his lane, fill his alley, and then let those superstar traits take over. It can't just be, I'm going to go rogue, go make a play, even though some of his big plays come that way. And that's a tough balance. Like when he makes big plays, sometimes it's because he's screaming like a bat out of hell and finding a way to go make a play, even if it's outside of his purview. And it's hard to say, don't do that when you get unbelievable results sometimes. But in a game like this, where you have a running back like Saquon Barkley, you do the wrong thing one or two times and Saquon Barkley cuts that back, that might be an 80-yard touchdown because one guy got out of his lane. That's how special Saquon is. So it is going to be paramount that he does his job and is assignment sure while also coming up with some of those big plays. We haven't seen that type of ball game yet in its entirety for Coop. He is a value add almost no matter what. Even with some mistakes, he makes more big plays to make up for it. And you're at the end of the day, you're like, well, there were two or three really bad plays in this one, but it was still a massive value add having him out on the field every single play. But in this one, one or two mistakes like that could really be the legitimate difference in this game, especially when you've got a running back like Saquon. So this is a huge game for Edgerrin Cooper. Number eight, who steps up at wide receiver? I quite frankly don't care if it's Malik Heath, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, Bo Melton. I don't even care if it's Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. It could be Ben Sims for all I care. I don't care who steps up and makes a big impact in this game. But one of these weapons on offense, not named Josh Jacobs, because that's a given. He's going to have a good game. But somebody else is going to have to say, yep, I got you. I think there's a really good chance it can be Dontayvion Wicks in this game. Although, to be fair, I've been saying that for about 18 weeks. I still think the world of Jaden Reed, but he's got to find his consistency. Romeo Doubs did it in the playoffs last year. Can he do it again in the playoffs this year? That remains to be seen. I don't care who it is, but if we just get average to meh Dontayvion Wicks, average to meh Jaden Reed, average to meh Romeo Doubs, and nobody steps up and nobody says, yep, I got you, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough. So I would love to see all these receivers step up, quite frankly, or at least like the three big ones, Wicks, Doubs, and Reed, but somebody needs to have a really good game in this one and give Jordan Love that confidence of like, hey, when things break down, I can go to this guy and good things are still going to happen. I don't care who it is, but somebody's got to step up and take that mantle and be a big time wide receiver in this game. Number nine, what's Jeff Hafley's plan for Jalen Hurts? In week one, Jeff Hafley's plan was very clearly, we are not going to let Jalen Hurts win with his legs. And they succeeded at that part of it at a very high level. But a part of that plan was, we don't think Jalen Hurts can win with his arm. And that part failed at a very high level. Jalen Hurts won with his arm through the vast majority of that game and consistently attacked Green Bay down the field. That's going to be something that Jeff Hafley's going to have to take into consideration. You still don't necessarily want Hurts winning with his legs, but I think you are maybe a little bit more willing to do that. He's coming off of a concussion. We'll see how willing he is going to be to want to run with the football. And, you know, you just had the Rex Ryan clip of him calling out Jalen Hurts and saying that Hurts can't win with his arm, which is a stupid take, by the way. But maybe Hurts hears that and says, no, I'll show you. I'm going to win with my arm all day. So maybe you're willing to take a few more chances and say like, hey, if he wins a couple times with his legs, so be it. It's a tough battle. It's a really tough situation to be in because they've got a great line, an unbelievable running back, great wide receivers, a quarterback that can win with his arm or his legs. You know, pick your poison, Jeff Hafley. Good freaking luck. But you can't just let Hurts sit in the pocket and pick you apart either. We saw how that story ended in week one, and you don't want to repeat that in week 18 and have your season bookended by Jalen Hurts tearing your defensive backfield apart because he can't get any pressure on him. So it's going to have to be a little bit of a different game plan this time around. Number 10, game management. Matt LaFleur, a little bit iffy with game management. You may have heard some frustration from fans about that. A little bit iffy with game management this year. Some of his fourth down decisions, field goal decisions, you know, two-point conversion decision. Like, there's just been some stuff that's been a little bit weird and wonky this year. And he has not seemingly followed the analytics like he has in years past. It's been something he's been great at in years past. And this year, it's been really off for whatever reason. I don't know why. Matt LaFleur needs to be better with his game management. We saw an epic failure in game management at the end of this last Bears game. Nick Sirianni, meanwhile, also has the ability to be a very emotional coach, somewhat like Matt LaFleur, probably even a little bit more so. And sometimes that emotion can get the best of him and he can make some poor decisions as well. In addition to that, some of those fourth down decisions for Philly come down to the tush push. And Green Bay did a pretty decent job on it in week one, but you got to be prepared for that as well. So I think the game management, some of the decision-making, the fourth downs, the red zone opportunities, do you kick or do you go for it? All those things are going to be really important in this one. And the coach that navigates those decisions better and can come out on the right end of them, again, advantage to that coach and into that team. But we know that Matt needs to be better in that area. It has not been great as of late, and he cannot have a couple lapses like that again in this game. Speaking of which, number 11 is learn from your mistakes. I would hope that you learn from Philly in week one, that you learn from your first game against Minnesota, your first game against Detroit, your second game against Detroit, your second game against Minnesota. I would hope that you learned from those big games already of what not to do, some of the things that you should do, some of the things that went well, some of the things that, again, you need massive improvements on. I would have liked to have seen a lot of those lessons learned to pick up a win against Detroit or Minnesota in the regular season to, as I love to say, show proof of concept that you can actually go out and do that. But they haven't been able to do so. Can you learn from the mistakes? As I've talked about this week, failure sometimes is the greatest teacher. But they've had some failures and they haven't learned completely from it yet. Can this be the game that they learn from their mistakes, they learn from their failures, and they actually grow from it and overcome it and show that they can be a team that beats a team like Philly on the road? They're going to have to prove it because otherwise their story is, again, good team, not great team, can't beat good teams, or can't beat really good teams. That's going to be their MO for the season if they can't come away with this win. So can you learn from your mistakes? Can you overcome adversity? Can you actually show those signs of growth and become a better team because of it. Adversity is good if you come out the other side of it. Matt LaFleur said that on multiple occasions as well. It can be a very good thing for a young team, but you have to show that you've grown from it. Green Bay hasn't shown that yet. This is their opportunity to show that they've grown from it. And last but not least, number 12, just win, baby. Just win. Packers, Eagles, playoffs, wild card week in Philly, epic matchup. Cannot wait for this one. Life is on the line. You got to win. Win or go home. I don't want the offseason. I'm not ready for the offseason yet. I'm just not. I'm sorry, Philly. I'm not ready for the offseason yet. I'm not ready to start breaking down free agents and who's coming and who's leaving. I'm excited for all that stuff eventually. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have you covered all offseason long. I'm not ready for it yet. I want to talk about Packers Lions next week. So Green Bay, figure it out. Come away with a win. Let's get this fan base fired up. There's been a little bit of I think frustration over the last 2 weeks with the Minnesota and Chicago games going the way that they did. And I think there's everyone just clenching their butts a little bit too tight of like, oh, it's Philly on the road. This is a nightmare matchup. Like, I want to see a little bit of hope from this fan base, a little bit of excitement from this fan base. Win against Philly, I think, gets that going. All of a sudden, everyone's going to believe that Green Bay can beat Detroit. Well, I want to see that. I want to see that. So Green Bay, number 12, just win, baby. My prediction, well, the Eagles are 5-point favorites now as we record this. It went from like 3.5 to 4.5 to 4, and now it's at 5-point Philly favorites late on Saturday night. Eagles have more avenues to win in this one. I'll just put it as simply as that. If there are, you know, let's put it this way. If, you know, it's a high scoring game, Philly can win that way. If it's a low scoring game, Philly can win that way. If it's a battle of the trenches, Philly can win that way. If it is a defensive battle or, you know, whatever, that, like, there's nothing that Philly can't do to win this game. Green Bay probably needs to win the turnover battle. They probably need to get some explosive plays in this one. Jordan needs to play better than what he had. Like, Green Bay is going to need a few things to go in their favor. I think this is probably like Green Bay having about a 35 to 40% chance somewhere in that range to win in this one. If you played this game out 100 times, I think Green Bay probably wins about 35 of them. But all that matters is if they win this one, because this is our multiverse, this is our reality, and this is the one that ultimately matters. Maybe they only win one out of 100. As long as it's this one, I don't really care. Packers 24, Eagles 23. Eagles move the ball consistently and actually have more scoring drives in this one. 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals to get to 23 points. Green Bay only has 4 scoring drives in this one, but 3 touchdowns, 1 field goal, win it 24-23. Hang on at the end. Packers will be up 24-23. Jalen Hurts will get the ball back with a 2-minute drill, and it's going to be the Green Bay defense that comes up with a stop at the end to get Green Bay the win. It's not going to be a block kick. They're not going to get in field goal range. The Packers defense actually makes a stop at the end of the game to win a game and to get them to Detroit next week with an opportunity to win and get to the NFC Championship. Like I said, if they pick up the win, they will go to Detroit. There's no other scoreboard watching needed. Although if Green Bay does win, they're the first NFC matchup. It does add a little bit of intrigue to Rams-Vikings on Monday Night Football. And then, of course, Commanders and Bucks on Sunday Night Football to see if Green Bay would get past Detroit, who the other opponents would be on the other side of that bracket. Should be a really fun game. Should be a really fun set of games on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it all. I cannot wait for Packers-Eagles. Like I said, Packers win this one, 24-23. Enjoy the hell out of it. Again, don't take these for granted. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantee Green Bay will be back in the postseason next year. I think they will be. I think they've got a very strong window and a very strong foundation here, but you never know what's going to happen. And I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited for this one, and I think it's going to be a really fun matchup. Going to go down to the wire, and Green Bay is going to be super competitive. Hopefully, fingers crossed, come away with the victory. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Lovin' Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I'll see you guys soon. Enjoy the hell out of this one. But until next time, and as always, and especially freaking today, go Pack, go.